Hillsgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Luke chapter 13, verse 34, we read these words from the Savior. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Now here the Lord says, I would. I would. And you would not. I would. I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings when the hawk is in the air coming at one of her chicks. I would have put you under my protection. I would. And you would not. You would have none of me. I've entitled this message, I would, and you would not. Now, someone might think, if you've even heard the message that I brought last week on God's absolute sovereignty and salvation, how He chose a people to be saved, they will be saved, Christ died for them and for them only, God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. Someone may think, well, how can you reconcile this, Christ saying, I would and you would not, with the glorious truths of election and Christ's effectual redemption for the elect? Regeneration being a work of God. How can you reconcile this, Christ saying, I would and you would not? How can you reconcile that, this statement with those things? Well, they don't need to be reconciled because they're not at odds. You see, Christ is willing to save all who are willing to be saved. Are you willing to be saved by the grace of God? Christ is willing to save you. Now, if you and I are not saved, it's our fault. It's because we were not willing to be saved. Christ says, I would, and you would not. He's speaking to Jerusalem. He knew this is where He was going to be crucified. And the very people that He knows will crucify Him, He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together? I've sent you prophets, you've stoned them. I've sent you the gospel with messengers telling you of who I am and who you are, and you put them to death. You had no love for the gospel. You despised the message of the gospel so much that you killed the people that came with the message to you. This speaks of the total depravity of man. Never been a city with greater blessing and yet more responsibility for wickedness than Jerusalem. Oh, the things that the Lord had done for that city. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. These are the ones who would end up murdering Christ. How often would I? How often did I desire to be just like that hen gathering her brood under her wings when the hawk was coming? How often would I have done this for you and you would not? Now, do you desire deliverance? Do you desire to be one of those little chicks getting under the wing of the mother hen for protection and safety from the hawk? Do you desire deliverance? He's willing. He's willing. He's willing to save you. He's willing to have mercy on you. He's willing to do something for you. He is willing. If you're in danger and want safety under the shadow of His wings, He desires to give you safety under the shadow of His wings. He's willing to receive everybody and anybody who needs His salvation, who needs shelter under His wings. Are you in danger? Are you a sinner? He says, come to me. He is willing to save you. He said, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings? And here's the sad commentary on you and I. He says, and you would not. Now, the teaching of our Lord is that He is willing to save all who are willing to be saved. I think of what He said to that man in John chapter 5. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? If we're not saved, it's because we're unwilling, not because Christ was unwilling to save us. If we're not saved, it's because we would not come to Him for salvation. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, we're willing to not go to hell. We're willing to not be punished for our sins. But as far as being willing to be saved on God's terms, no man by nature is willing. The Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, I see four things in that statement by our Lord in John 5:39. He said, you search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. If I can figure out how to obey these laws, I'll have eternal life. He says, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, the first thing that tells me is the natural man doesn't have life, not spiritual life. You will not come to me that you might have life. When Adam ate of the fruit, he died spiritually. Now, he didn't die physically, but he died spiritually. He lost the ability to perform the functions of spiritual life. That's why the natural man can't believe or repent or love God. It's impossible for him because he's dead in sins. Dead. You will not come to me that you might have life. Now, we also see in that there is life in Christ. You will not come to me that you might have life. There is life, spiritual life, a life more abundant in Christ. Life before God's law. You live before God's law. This spiritual life, there is life in Christ. Thank God for that. And there's life for all who will come. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. If you come to Him, you'll have life. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Christ, He will not cast you out. Come right now as you are. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be received. Don't wait to get better. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait till you know more. Don't wait till you give up this sin and become better. You come to Christ right now as you are, and He'll receive you. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But men do not have the will to come. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. The will is so fallen, so corrupt, so wedded to sin that we will not come to Christ for life. And that's our crime. That's our crime. We will not come. Free will? No. The will is controlled by an evil nature, a nature dead in sins that will not come. I think of the parable of the king in the next chapter that made a great feast for his son. And everybody with one consent began to make excuse. They didn't want to come. And that's the state of every natural man. You will not come to me that you might have life. Christ is willing to save you, my friend. Christ is willing to save you if you are willing to be saved. I'm not asking you if you're willing to not be punished or if you're willing to not go to hell. I'm asking you, are you willing to be saved? Somebody says, well, suppose I'm not one of the elect. Suppose Christ didn't die for me. Suppose God the Holy Spirit never gave me life. Can I come to Christ? You know, supposing such things is supposing nonsense. If the Father gave you to Christ, you will come. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then he gives us this blessed promise, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, what I want more than anything else for both myself and for you is for us to come to Christ. The Lord said, I would, and you would not. Now, what does it mean to come to Christ? It's mysterious, isn't it? Because it's not a physical coming. You know, people talk about preachers have invitations for people to come down to the front of the church and receive Christ. You don't have any of that in the Bible. There's no such thing as an altar call in the Scriptures. That's a man-made pressuring situation. Let's get them down. That's not of God. Coming to Christ is something spiritual. It's something done in my heart. Now, what does it mean to come to Christ? I want to do that, and I want you to do that. So I want us to know what it means to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 35, the Lord said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Coming to Christ and believing on Christ are the exact same thing. If you come to Christ, that means you believe on Christ. If you believe on Christ, that means you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the precise same thing. In Acts chapter 16, verse 30, that Philippian jailer who was getting ready to kill himself, and then because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. And Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And he came in trembling before them and called for a light and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now some people would answer, well, there's nothing you can do to be saved. Salvation is by grace. You shouldn't even be asking a question like that. But that's foolishness. Yes, he should be asking a question like that. And Paul and Silas gave a specific answer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord. He's the Lord. He's Jesus. He's the Savior. That's what His name means. He's God's Christ. He's God's prophet. He's the Word of God. He's God's priest. If He brings you into God's presence, you must be accepted. He's God's King, and I need Him as a King to rule and reign over me and cause me to do His will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, here's an illustration. There's a boy in a second floor, fire. He's scared to death. The flames are coming in. He looks out the window and there's a fireman on the ground and he says, jump and I'll catch you. Now, that boy believes in that fireman's ability to catch him. But what good would that do if he didn't jump? If he believes in the fireman's ability to catch him, then what he needs to do is believe on that fireman, jump out the window, and trust that fireman to catch him. Now, that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are committing the entire salvation of your soul to Him. Now, if you do that, you've come to Christ. John 3, 14 and 15 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you know the story. I love that story. The children of Israel were murmuring and complaining. They even complained about the manna coming down from heaven. They said, our souls loathe this light bread. And so God sent fiery serpents into the camp, and they started biting the children of Israel. Many of the children of Israel were dying, and they came to Moses, and they said, we're sorry we said that. Pray to God that He'd deliver us from these fiery serpents. And God told Moses, you take a serpent made out of brass and put it on a pole. This represents Christ on the cross. And anybody who looks, when he's bitten, when he looks, he'll live. Now, where they weren't to look at their bites. They weren't to look at the serpents. They weren't to look at ways to keep the serpents away from them. They were simply to look, to behold that serpent, to look to him. And everybody who looked, lived. If you look on Christ, if you look to him, if you rely on him, you will be saved. The Ethiopian eunuch says, what hinders me from being baptized? I want to know if there's a reason I shouldn't. Please tell me. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't say, I believe I'm one of the elect, or I believe I'm regenerated, or I believe Christ died for me. Everything he said regarding his faith was concerning the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you believe, you'll be saved. Do you believe he's God the Son? Do you look to him and rely upon him as all in your salvation? Beloved, that means you've come to him. And he said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen to this scripture from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He said, come to me. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Your sin is a burden to you. It crushes you down. Oh, what a burden it is. What does he say? Come to me and I'll give you rest. Now, he has the power to give it and he has the willingness to give it. He says, you come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what is rest? What's he talking about when he's talking about this rest? Well, the first time rest is used is in Genesis chapter 1, after God had finished creating the universe. The scripture says he rested. He said he looked at what he did. It was very good, and he rested. Now, he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because the work was finished. To rest in Christ is to rest in the finished work of Christ. There's nothing for me to do. The job's already been done. When he said, it is finished, salvation was accomplished. There's nothing for me to do but rest. You know, preachers are always trying to get, do, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, you need to rest. You need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your souls. Now here's what the Lord says. Come to me, and I will give you rest. He is willing to give rest to everyone that comes. And that's what I need. I need rest. It's such a burden to be thinking of what I need to do. I need to do this. I need to do that. No, I need to rest. May the Lord enable you and I to come to him and rest. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Now, if you come to God by him, he is able and he is willing to save you to the uttermost. Now, what in the world does that mean, salvation to the uttermost? It's a big word. Here's the best way I can explain it. What you're looking at right now is a sinful man, like you are, like all other men are. But do you know that God is able to take this sinful man and make it to where when he sees me, he doesn't see any sin? That's salvation to the uttermost. No sin. Sin put away. Sin taken away. Now that's what God does in salvation. My sin was placed upon Christ. Christ bore the punishment of it. He became guilty of it. And he died. He took my place. He died. And you know what he did with my sin? He put it away. It is no more. Now that's salvation to the uttermost. When I stand before the thrice holy God in judgment and He sees no sin. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Now that's salvation to the uttermost. Actually standing before God without sin, being perfectly justified, perfectly accepted. And this word says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. Now, the only way I come to God is by Him. I don't come in my own name. I don't come in my own merit. Trusting only in Thy merit would I seek Thy face. I don't come pleading anything that I've done, anything I believe. I come only in His name. Oh, save me for Christ's sake. I have nothing else to say but save me for Christ's sake. In Revelation chapter 22, I love this statement. In the last chapter of the Bible, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now this is God's word to you. This is what God the Holy Spirit says. This is the word of the church. Come. Not go and do. Not go and make yourself better. Come right now as you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Not go away, not improve, not straighten up, but right now, as you are, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul spoke in 1 Thessalonians 1, how you turn to God from idols. Now notice he didn't say you left your idols to come to God. No, he said you turn to God, and in turning to God, that's when you left your idols. It's not like you need to get everything straightened out and then come to God. No, come right now as you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. What is it to be thirsty? Well, there's something that you don't have that you need. It's a conscious awareness of not having what you need. You need water. You're thirsty. Oh, if you're thirsty, if you thirst for a righteousness that you can't produce, if you thirst for acceptance that you can't achieve, come to Christ for it. Let him that's athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, did you hear that? Whosoever will. Is that you? Yes. Let him take the water of life freely. There's nothing you need to have to pay for it or to buy it. It's free. Absolutely free. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now the Lord says, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? When the hawk is coming, how often would I? And you wouldn't. Charles Wesley tells the story of being up in a bell tower on a cold November day, and he was watching a hawk chase a little sparrow. He felt sorry for the sparrow. The sparrow was flying around all over the place with a hawk on its tail, and all of a sudden that little sparrow flew into his bosom for safety and refuge and protection. And Wesley said, I wasn't going to let that hawk touch that sparrow. That hawk or that sparrow had now come under the shadow of my wings, and it's going to be protected. And he went out and wrote this hymn in response to that experience. He said, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life be past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wings. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in Thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is Thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with Thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art. Freely let me take of Thee. Spring Thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Now if the hawk of your sin is chasing you, He says, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? If you're willing to be saved by Him, He is willing to save you. Now, is someone wondering, could He really be willing to save me, the Son of God, as sinful as I am, as far as I've fallen? Is He really willing to save me, the chief of sinners? Well, there was a leper who came to Him once, and he was full of leprosy. And he was not sure of Christ's willingness himself. He said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. Now, he had no doubt about Christ's ability. You can. You have the power to make me clean. But he wasn't real sure about Christ's willingness. And you know what it says of the Lord Jesus Christ? It says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, reached forth His hand and touched Him. I wonder how long it had been since that man had been touched. He was full of leprosy. And the Lord gave these words, I will. Be thou clean. Now, if you come to the Lord the way that leper did, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. You're going to hear the same thing that leper did. I will. Be thou clean. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email. We'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neifert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you.
Use me, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.